Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to the John 3:30 podcast. He must increase, I must decrease, is the message John 3:30 invites us to live. Incorporating this into our everyday lives can be a challenge. What keeps your fire burning? We have many wonderful ways to stay close to our faith, whether it be the Mass, spiritual readings, prayer, adoration, or the rosary. This is Catholic Faith Life, and here's our host, Jason Nunez.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the John 3:30 podcast. This is your host, Jason Nunez, and welcome to episode number 86. This week, I have no guest, so what I'm going to do is something a little bit different than what I've been doing in the past. So, as of recording this episode here, Padre Pio's feast day was on September 23rd. As of recording this, today's Friday, September 27th, so I thought what I'd do is I'd actually kind of do a spotlight on who has become my all-time favorite saint. And just want to devote some time and actually devote an entire episode to Saint Padre de Pio, and just kind of inform anyone who listens more about him, about his life, and why I feel so connected to this man. So here we go. Again, so this is going to be kind of a short biography and just kind of my thoughts in regards to Saint Padre de Pio. So Padre de Pio, he actually was born, his birth name is Francesco Forgione. Hey, I said that pretty good there. He was born to Giuseppe and Grazio Forgione. He was born in a small town known for farming called Pietrosina. That's the name of the city in Italy. He was born on May 25th, 1887. Now, although his family was poor, poor in the ways of the world, in like material goods and in material items, basically. And even though they were poor that way, they were certainly rich in their faith and in their love for God. As a young boy, Francesco, who is Padre de Pio, he had already shown signs of extraordinary gifts of grace. At the age of five, he actually dedicated his life to God from that small, tender age of five. From his early childhood, he showed an amazing understanding and recollection of spirit and of love for the religious life. His mother described him as a quiet child who, from his early years, loved to go to church, and he loved to pray. As a young boy, you could actually see and communicate not only with his guardian angel, but also with Jesus and with Mary as well. So as in the simplicity of a child and just kind of in the innocent nature of that, Francesco, Padre Pio, he assumed that everyone had the same kind of experience, that everyone was able to communicate not only with the guardian angel, but also with Jesus and with Mary. Once a woman noticed his demeanor, and she asked him, she actually asked him this, when did you consecrate your life to God? Was it your first Holy Communion? And he answered, now mind you, this was him answering as a child, always, daughter, always. That's pretty cute. So when he was 15 years old, he was admitted to the Noviate of the Capuchin Order, which is, that's the order of the friars that he belonged to. This was the Capuchin Order of the Friars Minor in Marconi, Italy. He was admired by students, as well as by his superiors, actually. He was admired by both, by his superiors and by his fellow students who were studying alongside him. He was admired simply because he had an exemplary behavior and his deep piety. Once his novice started, there was something which distinguished him from other students. This is a quote from one of his brothers. It said, there was something which distinguished him from the other students. Whenever I saw him, he was always humble and silent. What struck me most about Brother Pio was his love of prayer. On August 10th, 1910, he was 23 years old. Padre Pio was ordained to the priesthood. The celebration of the Holy Mass was for Padre Pio. The center of his spirituality was the Mass. Due to the long pauses of contemplative silence in which he entered into at various parts of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, his Mass could actually sometimes last several hours. So just think about that for a moment. We go to Mass now and sometimes we're kind of just staring at our watch. Or we're kind of playing the game where, okay, we know they're passing around the basket, so we're kind of getting close to being done. Or, okay, they're consecrating, you know, the precious body and the precious blood, so, you know, it's almost time to go. That was certainly not the case when you attended a Mass that Padre Pio was presiding over. He would enter into these long pauses. And so because of that, his Masses would last hours at times. Everything about him spoke about how intensely he was living the Passion of the Christ. And that's what those long pauses were about. He was literally living the Passion of the Christ in his mind when he was contemplating it. That's what was transpiring during those long pauses there. The parish priest actually called Padre Pio's Mass an incomprehensible mystery. when asked to shorten the Mass, Padre Pio replied, God knows that I want to say Mass just like any other priest, but I cannot do it. So, talk about John 3:30, right? Talk about he must increase, I must decrease. He simply said that, you know, God knows that I want to say Mass just the way any other priest do it, but I can't. So he's pretty much not willing to let pride take over, which I think is a real awesome point there to make. His parishioners were deeply impressed by his piety, and one by one, they began to come to him, and they would actually seek his counsel. For many, even a few moments in his presence proved to be a life-changing experience. As the years passed, pilgrims began to come to him by the thousands from every corner of the world, drawn by the spiritual riches which flowed freely from Padre Pio's extraordinary ministry. To his spiritual children, he would say, it seems to me as if Jesus has no other concern but the sanctification of your soul. Wow. Padre Pio is understood above all else as a man of prayer. Before he was 30 years old, he had already reached the summit of spiritual life, known as unitive way. Say that again. Known as unitive way of transforming union with God. He prayed almost continuously. His prayers were usually very simple. He loved to pray the rosary and he would also recommend it to others as well. To some who asked him what legacy he wishes to leave to his spiritual children, his brief reply was, "My child, the rosary." So the rosary is what he wanted to leave as his legacy. He had a special mission to the souls in purgatory and encouraged everyone to pray for them. He used to say, "We must empty purgatory with our prayers." That's one of the famous quotes. And before I wrap up today, I do want to end with, you know, some famous quotes by Padre Pio, because there's definitely a lot that apply to us, even now in 2019. So definitely want to share those with you as well. But he would say that we must empty purgatory with our prayers. Father Agostino Danieli, who was Padre Pio's confessor, director, and also his beloved friend, once said, "One admires in Padre Pio his habitual union with God. When he speaks or is spoken to, we are aware that his heart and mind are not distracted from the thought and the sentiment of God." Now, Padre Pio, he suffered from poor health practically his entire life, probably starting at around the age of 9, from what I've read in the past. Starting at the age of 9 is when a lot of his health problems started. After his ordination to the priesthood, he remained in his hometown of Pietrosina, and he was separated from his religious community for more than 5 years due to his health situation. Although the course of his prolonged and debilitating illnesses remained a mystery to his doctors, Padre Pio did not become discouraged. He offered all of his body sufferings to God as a sacrifice for the conversion of souls. He experienced many spiritual sufferings as well. "I am fully convicted that my illness is due to a special permission of God," he said. And for someone like me, that really strikes a chord. I'm going to say that again. "I am fully convinced that my illness is due to a special permission of God." Shortly after his ordination, he wrote a letter to his spiritual director, Father Benedict Nardella, or Naldella, double L, I believe in Italian, it's Y like it is in Spanish, in which he asked permission to offer his life as a victim for sinners. He wrote, "For a long time I have felt in myself a need to offer myself to the Lord as a victim for poor sinners and for the souls in purgatory. The desire has been growing continually in my heart, so that it has now become what I call a strong passion. It seems to me that Jesus wants this. The marks of the stigmata, which are the wounds of Christ, they appeared on Padre Pio's body on Friday, September 20th, 1918, while he was praying before crucifix and making his thanksgiving after Mass. He was 31 years old and became the first stigmatized priest in the history of the Church. With resignation and serenity, he bore the painful wounds of his hands, feet, and side for 50 years. So just to kind of clarify what that means there is, when we say stigmata and when we say bore the wounds of Christ, I want you to a moment picture a crucifix. And of course, on a crucifix, we have Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, how is he on the cross? He's nailed to the cross. So that means that Padre Pio bore the wounds on his hands, the palm of his hands, and on his feet, as if he himself was nailed to the cross. He also bore the wound at his side, which is also a wound that Jesus endured. Now, Padre Pio bore these painful wounds, like I said earlier, for 50 years. Just think about that for a moment. For 50 years, this man, he lived with these wounds. Now, Padre Pio had many extraordinary spiritual gifts, including the gifts of healing, bilocation, prophecy, miracles, discernment of spirit, the ability to abstain beyond man's natural powers from both sleep and nourishment, the ability to read hearts, the gift of tongues, which is the ability to speak and understand languages that he had never studied, the gift of conversions, the grace to see angelic beings in form, and the fragrance which emanated from his wounds. Now the fragrance would announce his invisible presence. If you're not sure what bilocation means, because that was one of the first spiritual gifts that I mentioned there. Bilocation basically means that you can literally be in two places at one time. And if you just Google Padre Pio bilocation, you'll be able to read numerous accounts of people speaking to that, where he had this ability to literally be in two places at one time. And I'm not talking in two rooms that are right next to each other. I'm talking far, far away from each other. Padre Pio once said, "You know, they are a mystery to me too." Although he received more than his share of spiritual gifts, he never sought them, never felt worthy of them, never put the gifts before the giver. He always remained humble and constantly at the disposal of the Almighty God. Just to kind of give you an idea of just a day in the life of Padre Pio here, this extraordinary man here. His day began at 2:30 a.m., where he'd wake up and he'd begin his prayers, and he'd make his preparation for Mass. He was able to carry on a busy apostolate with only a few hours of sleep each night and an amount of food that was so small. The estimation is it about 300 to 400 calories a day. His fellow priest stated that there's not enough food even to keep a small child alive. Between Mass and confessions, his workday lasted 19 hours. He very rarely left the monastery and never took days off for vacation from his schedule in 51 years. He never read the newspaper or listened to the radio. He actually would caution his spiritual children against watching television, which, quite frankly, I totally agree with that. That's actually a practice that I kind of do on my own life. I very rarely watch television. The more I get closer to my faith, the more I'm not entertained by what is on the TV anymore, or what is on the mainstream secular television. So just think about that for a moment. One of the big terms now is binge, right? You know, Netflix, Hulu, all the streaming services, binge. To binge something is to overindulge. Do we really need to be binging? Could that time be better spent doing something else? Just something to consider. So, back to Padre Pio. So, in his monastery in San Giovanni Rotondo, he lived the Franciscan spirit of poverty, which detached from self, from possessions, and from comforts even. He always had a great love for the virtue of chastity, and his behavior was modest in all situations with all people in his lifetime. Padre Pio reconciled thousands of men and women back to their faith. It's just a man doing the good work of the Lord right there. The prayer groups that Padre Pio established, they've now spread throughout the world. He gave a new spirit to hospitals by founding one in which he called the Home for the Relief of Suffering. He saw the image of Christ in the poor, the suffering, and the sick. and gave himself particularly to them. He once said, "Bring God to all those who are sick. This will help them more than any other remedy." Now, Padre Pio surrendered and passed away on September 23rd, 1963, at the age of 81 years old. He died as he had lived, with his rosary in his hands. His last words were, "Jesu Maria," which translates to "Jesus, Mary." Those were the last words of Padre Pio on this earth, which he repeated over and over until he breathed his last breath. He had often declared, "After my death, I will do more. My real mission will begin after my death." In 1971, Pope Paul VI, speaking to the superiors of the Capuchin Order, said of Padre Pio, "What fame he had. How many followers from around the world? Why? Was it because he was a philosopher, a scholar, or because he had means at his disposal? No. It was because he said Mass humbly, heard confessions from morning until night, and was a marked representative of the stigmata of our Lord. He was truly a man of prayer and suffering." In one of the largest liturgies in the Vatican's history, think about this, thousands of people travel to the Vatican every day. Yet, in one of the largest liturgies in the Vatican's history, now Saint Pope John Paul II canonized Padre Pio on June 16th, 2002. During his homily, Pope John Paul recalled how in 1947, as a young priest, he journeyed from Poland to make his confession to Padre Pio. Prayer and charity. This is the most concrete synthesis of Padre Pio's teachings, the Pope said. Drawing approximately 8 million pilgrims each year, San Giovanni the Rotondo, where St. Padre Pio lived and is now buried, is second only to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico in its number of annual visitors, drawing nearly 8 million pilgrims each year. That's a large number. That's a number I'm very, very happy to see. And God willing, I hope to be a part of that number at some point in my life, to make that trip out there. Padre Pio's whole life might be summed up in the words of Saint Paul to the Colossians. And the first time I read this, it really struck a chord with me. Anyone who knows me knows my struggles. So this one really, really struck a chord with me. "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church." Padre Pio was an extraordinary man, and he was canonized a saint. And hopefully, within what I shared with so far in this episode, you've gotten to know more about Padre Pio than you know beforehand. Padre Pio, pray for us. If you're curious where I'm getting this information from, it's from a website, padrepiodevotions.org. Fantastic website, has a lot of information. Actually has the Divine Office on here. It has different litanies on here, different prayers as well, testimonials. There's a newsletter about Padre Pio that you can receive. That is sent out as well. So just a couple things here before I get to the Padre Pio quotes that I want to share with you all. One, he talked a lot about entering purgatory with our prayers. which is very important. You know, all of us know someone who was very near and dear and close to us that's passed away. And, you know, for the most part, we can't help but feel that they might be in purgatory. So when I see that, empty purgatory with our prayers, I see that as a call to arms for us to definitely pray for the souls that are in purgatory. Let's join Padre Pio in that fight and in that mission to empty the empty purgatory with our prayers. So what I'd like to do is share a prayer with you that I've said in the past and that I say for this particular mission. And I encourage you to say this prayer, something similar to it, and just offer it up for the souls in purgatory. O gentle heart of Jesus, ever present in the Blessed Sacrament, ever consumed with burning love for the poor captive souls in purgatory, have mercy on them. Be not severe in your judgments, but let some drops of your precious blood fall upon the devouring flames. And, merciful Savior, send your angels to conduct them to a place of refreshment, light, and peace. Amen. So that's a prayer that I kind of encourage you all to say and to pray. Once again, for the intention of the souls in purgatory. I'm going to go ahead and get to some Padre Pio quotes here. They're pretty good. One of the most famous quotes, and a quote that I use, and it comes up quite a bit, is pray, hope, and do not worry. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Although, and from what I'm seeing here, there's some extra on top of that. So what I have here as a quote from Padre Pio is pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful and will hear your prayer. It's a good one. We always have times where we may be faced with a stressful situation and we're just overcome by worry. We're overcome by stress and we're overwhelmed, and that's what we go to, is we stress about something, we worry about something. You know, Padre Pio tells us, pray, hope, and do not worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful and will hear your prayer. There's another quote here that can be timely for some people. Have courage and do not fear the assaults of the devil. Remember this forever. It is a healthy sign if the devil shouts and roars around your conscience, since this shows that he is not inside your will. For anyone that may be getting closer to their faith and may feel like they're being attacked spiritually, that is truly a sign that you are getting closer to Christ. Do not despair. Do not be afraid. It says in the Bible 365 times, do not be afraid. Do not fear. One for every day of the year, right? But that's the absolute truth. If you are getting closer to God, the devil is mad. Because now he's got to get to work and do something. There is a battle for souls. There is a true battle for souls between good and evil. And when you get closer to your faith, that's when you start to see things and start to notice things like, whoa, why is this happening to me? What's going on? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I thinking this way? I shouldn't be thinking this way. That's not right. That's that spiritual warfare within you. In those moments, do your best to rise above them and say a prayer. The prayer that works for me is just simply saying John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. Keep my focus on God. Another prayer, another quote, I should say. This one here applies to a lot of people. My past, O Lord, to your mercy. My present, to your love. My future, to your providence. A lot of times we get hung up on our past, and that prevents us from going forward and moving forward in our life. When you feel that, think of this quote. My past, O Lord, to your mercy. My present, to your love. My future, to your providence. That quote can strike a chord with a lot of people right there. Here's another one. Joy with peace is a sister of charity. Serve the Lord with laughter. That's a good one. I like that. Here we go. Here's another one. Prayer is the best weapon we have. It is a key to God's heart. You must speak to Jesus, not only with your lips, but with your heart. In fact, on certain occasions, you should only speak to him with your heart. Have you ever had those times where you want to go and pray, but you don't know really what to say? You don't know where to start. You don't know where to begin. But you literally feel it on your heart that you should pray. Don't get hung up in what I should say or how I should do it or what I should do. Sometimes the best things you can do is just stop. For a moment, stop. We live busy lives. Just stop, close your eyes, and just simply feel what's on your heart. And as you do that, the words will come. Here's another quote here. The life of a Christian is nothing but a perpetual stage against self. There's no flowering of the soul to the beauty, its perfection, except at the price of pain. Here's another one. The longer the trial to which God subjects you, the greater the goodness in comforting you during the time of trial and in the exaltation after the combat. The most beautiful act of faith is the one made in darkness and sacrifice with extreme effort. So there we go. There are some quotes from Father DePio that I want to share with you all. I definitely encourage you, anyone listening, to simply encourage you all to Google Father DePio. There's a lot of good information there that you can find about him and to learn more about his life. There's a lot more to his life than what I shared. I kind of gave the Cliff Notes version there to you. There's a lot more. There's a lot more miracles that he's attributed to, and a lot more acts that he did here on earth that are just simply amazing. There's tons of books on him. So tons of resources about Padre Pio. So I just kind of figured, since his feast day was September 23rd, that I should kind of do a special episode focusing on the life of Padre Pio and why he is my favorite saint. That's one of the questions I ask all my guests, is who is your favorite saint? I'm always curious. We always have some type of way that we relate to the saint. Because the saints overall, they were humans. They walked the earth. They were just like you and I. Yet they strive to live their life in a holy manner, in a holy way. Now, I'm a big fan of the Dallas Cowboys. And if you've ever seen the Cowboys play in their stadium, they have what's called the Ring of Honor. So in this Ring of Honor, in the stadium, they have the number and the name of the player that played for this franchise. And they make such an incredible mark on this franchise that they were honored. They were essentially immortalized by having their name and their number in the stadium. Becoming a saint is like entering into the Ring of Honor of the Catholic Church. You lived your life here on earth in such a holy way that you are recognized as a saint. So that's kind of a simple way that I can kind of compare something common like football to being a saint, which they're far from similar, but that's just kind of how my mind works, and I can connect the dots there. But that's really how that works in my mind anyways. But definitely encourage everyone to look up more about Padre Pio. There are different, there's a devotion to him. There's a novena that you can pray and ask Padre Pio for his intercession. That way he can pray for you. And definitely in his time here on earth, and especially now, as he said, his mission started after his death. That's when the real work began for him. He is certainly a prayer warrior now, and definitely someone that would be good to ask for intercession for any kind of troubles that you're having in your life, or for anyone that you can feel that does need prayer. You can simply ask Padre Pio to intercede for you and to pray for that person as well. So we're going to end this episode by saying, Padre Pio, pray for us. I want to thank you all for listening. Thanks for tuning in, even though this week there was no guest. That's okay. We'll definitely be back with some more guests in the coming weeks. Looking forward to releasing new episodes every week for you all. Thank you very much for listening. It means a lot to me. It means a great deal to me that you all tune in and listen every single week. The feedback that I get, I greatly appreciate it. Whether it's someone that sends me a message on social media, or someone that I know in town that says, hey, you know, heard the episode. I always joke with people whenever someone tells me that. I always say, hey, so you're the one that's listening. You know, it's kind of a funny joke, but I really do appreciate everyone who tunes in, who listens. Anyone who is listening that hasn't been on it as a guest, if you would like to, by all means, let me know. I'd love to speak with you. I'd love to find out how you keep your fire burning for our Catholic faith. The executive producers for this week's episode were Dr. Jeff Vista, Mr. Christopher Lehman, and the 2019 Men's Acts team. I want to thank Victoria and Ruben at Oblate Renewal Center for allowing us to use their space once again to record this particular episode on holy ground, which means so much to us. Padre Pio, pray for us. Thanks for listening. Have a good rest of your day, and God bless you all.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media, but today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Father Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford, Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.